T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's a 94 WIP afternoon show. Ike Reese is over there. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Jack Fritz. We will get back to your calls about the Sixers. Man, everybody's fired up today. Not a great way to lose. 215-592-9494. We do have somebody who is going to make excuses for the Sixers, though, right in front of us. Elliott Shore Parks, brought to you by BQ Basements and Concrete, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. Call today for a free inspection. To book your appointment, go to basementsbybq.com. So, your gut reaction after last night.
Man, that one hurt. That was one of the more painful losses of my Sixers lifetime. Obviously, the Kawhi shot is up there, but just in terms of, you know, I'm getting ready to do the Clap Your Hands podcast with Jack, thinking, you know, what we're going to talk about. That's
What's
Max.
That?
Yeah, it's the Sixers Odyssey podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You'll find actually this segment in that feed, so make sure you download it.
Okay. But I won't say a word.
Yeah. But I also think that, you know, after the shock of it leaves, I mean, they got absolutely robbed last night. That game was stolen from them. And that's not being a ref guy. That's being a saying what happened guy. If that game is officiated correctly in the final minutes, they win the game. So I'm not going to sit here and go the Knicks wanted it more or the Knicks are tougher. And, you know, they all showed up. Maxey showed up in the fourth quarter. Embiid had a really good game. They led that game for the majority of it. At the end, the refs made a mistake, and it cost them the game. I'm treating it, or at least, look, I know they're down 2-0. But the way I feel about the team is as if they won last night, because they did win last
night.
The refs took it from them. They played well enough to win that game. That's a fact. If the refs call it correctly, we're all in here saying how encouraged we are. The Sixers are going to go up 3-1. Maxey had his moment. A bad call from the official is not changing what I saw on the court.
Let me ask you this. Was that the only bad call they made all night?
Nope.
Okay, and they probably made bad calls in favor of the Sixers, right?
100%.
So how does one bad call erase the other bad calls?
Because not all calls are created equal. That call decided the game. Does anyone here believe if he gets the timeout he called that they lose that game?
Well, they surely could have.
No, they would not have lost. Yes, anything could happen.
They're by 1 point.
But they would have had the ball. They would have inbounded it. They're shooting free throws. Yes, anything can happen.
I think they would have won the game.
They would have won the game. Yeah. And I know you think they would have won the game too. So ultimately, that call, you're right. A call in the first quarter that they missed where the Sixers, like the Embiid technical, probably a bad call. That costs them a point. That impacts the game. It doesn't impact the game the same way as that moment. And did the Sixers have a hand in making it close? Absolutely.
Of course they did.
Absolutely. Maxey was bad on that play. Lowry was bad on that play. I thought Nick Nurse made some mistakes in that game. But despite all that, they survived it. The Knicks made more mistakes than the Sixers did in that game. That's why the Sixers were winning with like 30 seconds to go and had the ball, and the Knicks were losing. It wasn't that the Knicks were tougher, that they were better, that the Sixers made all these mistakes. They were winning the game. All game, the Knicks, I thought, had momentum, and the Sixers repeatedly responded to it. They had a big lead. The Knicks would get it to 5. They'd respond and get it back up to 7 or 8. The Knicks would take a 1-point lead. The Sixers would go back 4 or 5. They showed the fight you wanted to see. But the refs made a mistake, and it happens. I get what you're saying, but that doesn't change how I feel about the team. They were the better team last night.
No, they've been the better team from a talent standpoint before the series even started. We all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're somewhat compromised because Joel isn't necessarily 100%.
Agreed.
So I can see where the levels are starting to sort of meet each other to where it's somewhat of an evenly matched team with Joel compromised. But here's the thing that's different. Here's where I disagree with you. The stars showed up to play last night. Embiid and Maxey.
Absolutely.
The rest of the guys didn't.
Agreed.
Toby gave you a little something, but the other guys didn't. They weren't hitting the floor. They weren't getting the loose ball on rebounds. Those are things that they could have done. It had nothing to do with the officials. It has everything to do with who wants the ball more.
But,
and hold on, real quick. I'll just let you roll. I didn't want to interrupt you. So when the game was going back and forth, right? Knicks are up. Sixers make some big plays. Maxie with some huge three-pointers. That and one Joel had on the wing with the jumper. Awesome play. Mm-hmm. They take the lead. Lowry misses a free throw. It's still a five-point lead. You still got a chance to win this game if you're the smarter team and you're anticipating things coming down the stretch. And this is where I start with Nick Nurse. He's the head coach. He's the head coach. Now, if you're going to tell me I can't blame Maxie because he's only 23 years old, I can understand that. And B, he has one eye out there on the court. He has one eye and one leg. So I can't blame Joel Embiid. All right, so I got the two guys that have championship experience in my favor. Where's the championship experience on the Knicks team? Who's won an NBA title over there? So I got a head coach who's won a title, and I got a point guard. Your two key positions. Nick Nurse has to be anticipating what he wants to do. He has to understand momentum in the game and what's happening. And then Kyle Lowry, he's supposed to be an extension of Nick Nurse. The referees don't get involved with the Maxi play if Lowry just calls a timeout right there. Mm-hmm. When Maxi is on the floor, this is where his youth and inexperience comes in. Just grab the ball and call a timeout. Why are you trying to pass the ball through a Knicks player's legs to Kyle Lowry? Like, it was so many things that the Sixers did at the end that helped the Knicks versus being the team that is experienced and they have the advantage in the coaching department. I understand he was trying to call a timeout. I understand that. But you got to do it. You got to be a little more demonstrative than that if they're not paying attention to
it. Yeah, but if the refs do their job, then we're sitting here and going, they did the right thing, right? A Nurse called the timeout. There was his experience. Yeah, so I get your point that maybe you have to run.
It wasn't emphatic.
But I that just doesn't matter to me.
Sure,
he's calling timeout.
It's time a game going
right.
on.
But he's calling timeout.
Hold on.
He's
what do you want the officials to do? You want the officials to look at the play? Hold on real quick. Look at the play on the court or look at Nick Nurse and say, are you going to call a timeout now or what? No, they're looking at the play on the court, so he has to get the official's attention.
But just like it's Nick Nurse's job to make sure that he gets that timeout, it's the official's job to be aware that in that situation, he could call a timeout.
No, it's not.
It absolutely
is. No, it's not their job to do that. No, it's not.
I think it is.
No. It's their job to coach?
No, it's their job to be aware of what's going on and to see if Nick Nurse is going to call a timeout. There's
a
ref 10 feet from him. Nick Nurse is going like this.
It's the Sixers' job not to put themselves in a situation to where a ref's call or non-call is going to win or lose the game. That's 215-592-9494. Jared in Allentown, you're on WIP.
All right. Thank you, guys. So the Sixers, they blew the game. It wasn't the officials. There's plenty of calls through the whole 48 minutes of the game. I'm a basketball official. Yes, the lead official can he glance over, but Nick Nurse is barely he did.
Jared, deep breath. Slow down. Okay,
yep.
You're a basketball official. In what capacity?
Varsity.
Okay,
level.
Varsity. Okay,
yeah,
good. No, I wasn't talking down to you. I'm trying to get context because that is what is interesting here. So you're saying, what are you saying about the lead official can do and why it's not their fault?
So, well, I shouldn't say it's the official who did the inbounding with Kyle Lowry. So he's first doing his 5 second count while watching Maxi pretty much getting tackled and stuff. But Nick Nurse, to Ike's credit, Nick Nurse needs to run up to that official and call a timeout, not hang out at that. Basically at the three-point arc and barely do a timeout signal, especially in that atmosphere of the game. He needs to go right and make himself showing that he's calling that timeout. He didn't do it aggressive enough.
Thank you for the call, Jared.
So the Maxi getting pulled, the jersey getting pulled, that was a missed call. But Maxi also pushed off. I'm not saying that call was, you can blame them. In the heat of the game with all the movement, there are calls, to your point, Spike, throughout the game that happened that are missing that go both ways. What I believe why they got robbed was the missed timeout is egregious. It is not just the game's moving quickly, Maxey gets pulled. And I also think the screenshots make it seem worse than it was. When you actually watch it, he doesn't get slowed up that much. But to miss two timeouts there that he's trying to call, that is on the officials. And yes, they put themselves in that situation, but you could also say they put themselves in a situation to win the game. They had the ball up and with 13 seconds to go, whatever it was. So that's why I think they got robbed. If the timeout is correctly given, they win the game.
Well, if Kyle Lowry doesn't miss a free throw, they win the game. If Tyrese Maxey, who also you're talking about, made a mistake. The refs made a mistake.
They made a mistake.
Well, Tyrese Maxey was going to lay the ball up.
Yep.
It bounced off his leg and went out of bounds. He made a mistake. So there are a lot of mistakes.
Despite all of that,
they would
win the game if the refs called the game correctly. In that moment, in that play.
But to Spike's point, if those plays happen, then the officials, the importance or the urgency of the officials making that call isn't as important, because maybe now you got a 6-point lead, a 5-point lead.
For sure. I agree with that. But that doesn't change the fact that there was a major mistake made against the Sixers. And this is why I think it's good they filed the grievance. But
what does that mean?
I think all they're doing.
What does that mean?
I think they're setting up the refs for the next two games.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's
all.
Yeah,
they're trying to get a friendly whistle
filing
the next.
Grievance. Are we getting a game back or
no,
something?
No, but I would. I think
they're going to restart the game.
Yeah, what does that mean?
7 seconds left.
It would be wild if they did and they still lost. Yeah, that would be the ultimate bad look for them.
It's like when the Eagles send in a play.
Yes.
To the league office. What does that mean?
But I do think the grievance could help them get a more friendly whistle.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
love a good friendly whistle.
Yeah, I think that's what
that's
they're trying
the
to do.
And it also can backfire on you.
Well, look, Kelly Oubre hasn't gotten a lot of calls recently.
Yes.
You know,
I think you can protest the calls without calling all of the refs and their families bitches individually.
There's a way to go about that.
Yes. Yeah. I certainly,
that was a classic Oubre moment.
It was great.
That was classic.
Forever. A hero. Forever. Something tells me that the petition from the Sixers didn't say, you're a bitch, and you're a bitch, and you're a bitch. Your mom's a bitch. Your dad's a bitch. Your grandma.
Although I would almost respect if that's the grievance they sent. Just
would
send
be great.
A shirt with it. Yeah.
Tracy and Matt Young, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, Spike and Ike? I just want to call a spade a spade. It was a great game, hot game. The first foul they should have called, if we're going to keep it real, is when Maxey pushed Josh Hart before they even inbound the ball to try to get open. So that would have gave the Knicks the ball back no matter what. So if we want to keep it real, look at it again, gentlemen. Look at it again.
I'm trying to actually find it.
I have it right here. I agree. He pushed off. He 1,000% pushed off of Josh Hart. I agree with that.
Sure. I mean,
on your timeline?
I don't think you can call the grab on Maxey. I think it since the middle of the season in the NBA when they've been letting them play, and honestly, these two games, aside from Embiid and Brunson, everybody else is grabbing and pushing and not getting any calls. That's the way they're calling the game. I'm fine with that.
And I actually think the Sixers have responded really well to that. I feel better about the Sixers two games in than I did prior to the series. I think they've shown up way better than I expected. I thought they would lose the series in seven. Now I think they're probably going to win it.
Now they'll be lucky if it goes seven.
I disagree. They have had the call go against their way in game two, and game one was a coin flip. But ultimately, their two stars, I mean, Maxey's been the best player in the series. Embiid has been better than Brunson. Last night, Josh Hart started to miss late in the game. I know the Sixers aren't getting a ton from anyone besides their two stars, but if they play that exact game 10 times, I think the Sixers win seven of them. Like they played well enough to win last night. They didn't get the call. They lost. But if you continually play that way, I think winning 4 out of 5 will be tough, but you will win more than you'll lose.
You know what? You're not totally crazy in what you're saying, but let me just ask this to counter it.
Elliot got you a little closer than I did.
We're working on Ike. Well, no, because here's the thing. I do know that the Sixers are the more talented team. That I do understand. But here's what I'll tell you. It's not as if the Sixers have played their B game or C-plus game and the Knicks have played their A game. What you're implying is that the Knicks can't play any better than what they have.
So what I think is people got wrong is the Sixers are not way better than the Knicks. These are two very evenly matched teams.
Okay.
I just think through two games, the critical plays in the final few minutes have gone against the Sixers. And now I'm not saying only the ref. Like, the Knicks have made shots that the Sixers didn't. But what I've not seen through two games is Embiid moping around.
Sure.
I've seen Maxey be really good in the fourth quarter. I saw Nick Nurse fix the offensive rebounding problem. They've been really good against Brunson. Those four things were things I was worried about going into the series, and they've all been positive. So being down 0-2 definitely makes it tougher. But the things I was worried about, they've responded to. They've just lost two coin flips.
You do agree that the Knicks haven't played their best game yet either, right?
I mean, but then of the Sixers, I think the Knicks.
No, I'm saying.
Nobody has.
Yeah,
nobody
that's
has.
All I'm saying.
But I think you could argue, I mean, Josh Hart's played better than people would have expected, right? He made a lot more threes in these first two games.
OG Anunoby hasn't necessarily made his presence
felt. He might just not be good. I can't believe they traded multiple.
No, he's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, next thing you know, he'll score 20 points come Thursday.
I mean, he hasn't looked like it through two games.
You know what it is? I think Julius Randle stinks. But OG Anunoby is not a creator in any way.
Right.
So what the Sixers are doing, essentially, is to stop Jalen Brunson, they're just helping off of Hart. That's what they're doing. And it's really helping against Brunson. It's helped all year. The problem is they have to decide, of the people on the court, it's DiVincenzo, it's Anunoby, it's Josh Hart, and the center. Okay, center's under the basket. You're not helping off of him. So you're just deciding whether you're going to help off of DiVincenzo, Anunoby, or Hart. So Ananobi's guy stays on him. So if they had Randle, that would create other shots for Anunoby. I think that's been the problem with him. I largely agree. Aside from the ref thing, I largely agree with your take here. I think they can win this series.
But this is where I'll push back against all of you who feel this way. The Sixers are top heavy.
They are.
They have the top two players in the series. But 3 through 10, who you taking?
See, but I don't think that's been a problem. I agree with you.
It clearly has been a problem. You had 5 players in double digits last night.
Yeah, but the Sixers had 2 that scored almost 70. It doesn't matter how the
and
points are.
And it didn't matter.
Right, but no, it did matter until the ref stole the game from them. They had that game won. Josh Hart has made way more threes than you expect him to make over 7 games. So I agree the Knicks are deeper and have the better players 3 through 8. They have still played well enough to win both of these games. I don't see a big red flag problem with these first two games.
Forget about the red flag problem and all that. All I'm doing is saying I think we are throwing the term around that the Sixers are so much better.
I agree.
Than
they're
the
not.
Knicks.
They're not.
They are top heavy.
Yes.
The two players up top. If I look at all the other players who actually fit in their role on the Knicks, who have been playing in this role for months now since Julius Randle has been out, they have won as a collective group.
I agree. I think generally in the NBA playoffs, if you presented general managers with one choice, you can have the top heavy with the two stars or the 1 through 10, you know, grind
totally
it
agree.
Out. Most of them will take the top heavy with the,
and
the
so
two stars.
And, yes. that, and so
why,
would I. And
that's why last night, with 4 minutes ago, I said the Sixers have 2 stars, the Knicks have 1 star. That has to matter now. That's why they had to win that game. And they were going to, and the ref messed it up. But the stars showed up in those final four minutes.
But here's why I'll pushback.
Yeah.
We had the best players in the Hawks series. We had the best players in the Heat series.
Yep.
So we've had the best top players in these series. You know how we lost to those other teams? They were more of a team. All of their players fit. You're not getting guys on those teams shooting the ball 29, 30 times a game.
But I think
everybody stays involved. That's all I'm saying.
No, so I think your point. I heard you say it driving in. I don't know if I can count on the Sixers to win close games if these are all going to be close, these next 5 games. Because I've seen them lose close games in the playoffs repeatedly. But I think the difference is Maxey is so much better than anybody that Embiid has had in the playoffs.
That I agree with that. And looks like he doesn't have that very last play aside. Looks like he doesn't have meltdown potential.
Agreed.
Like
it was a career moment for him last night.
James Harden, great, great, great player.
Agreed.
Meltdown in the playoffs. 215-592-9494. Jeff in D.C. You're on WIP.
Going on, Spike and Ike. I am thrilled to be able to come on right after Elliot and tell him how wrong he is.
Oh, I can't wait. Excited to talk to you.
I am sick. I am sick to death. I'm a real one roadie too, by the way.
Oh, love it. Thank you for
Elliot.
Listening. Yeah.
I am tired of hearing that the Sixers are the more talented team because it's irrelevant. Because hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Mm.
And that's what's happening here. We're getting outworked.
No, they're not. They're not getting outworked. They're not getting
100%.
Outworked. How are they getting outworked?
Did you not see Deuce McBride rip the ball from the hands of Tyrese Maxey?
The Sixers were winning the entire game. The Knicks can rip all the basketballs the way they want. It hasn't for the majority of that game, it did not result in winning.
Well, it's resulted in 2 wins.
It did. But that's not because of hard work. I hate this narrative that the Knicks are trying harder than the Sixers. It's not true.
They are.
It's not true at all. They're just the few plays at the end of the game because of the refs last night have gone against them.
Yeah, mate, you can't say the refs. You can't.
I can. Did you see the game?
No, I did see the game. The refs were atrocious on both sides. They let them play. I was shocked that Jalen Brunson didn't go to the line more than he did. He gets those calls all the time, all year. He didn't get any calls last night. I was stunned by that. The Sixers got the benefits of the refs being atrocious also. They were horrible. They let them play. But at the end of the day, when you come down to it, Nick Nurse got to call a timeout.
He did.
Kyle Lowry got to call a timeout. He didn't call a timeout because it wasn't granted to him. He needs
but
to
that's
run
because
the
refs
court.
Made a mistake.
It doesn't matter, Elliot.
It's true. How does it not matter? You just said he has to call a timeout. He called a timeout.
He has to get their attention.
The refs have to do their job and grant the timeout.
Nick Nurse has to do it in such a way that he can't be ignored. I don't care if you get a technical. I don't care that he was warned to not run on the court anymore. If you got to call a timeout, you make sure the referees see you calling a timeout.
So you're admitting he has to overcome their incompetency. We agree.
Yes,
the refs
exactly
were incompent and he didn't
that's
do enough.
Exactly what I'm
yes.
saying.
Okay. But then you're admitting they're incompetent.
The Sixers, yeah, of course. I mean,
okay, then we agree.
Were atrocious. I just said that.
Yeah,
the
glad.
Sixers have to overcome Tobias Harris incompetent every night. So, yes, they have to overcome
Tobias
Harris incompetent, too.
Poor Ike.
Bottom line.
Good call. Thank you, Jeff. That was a good one.
Toby played well last night.
Oh, enough. Enough.
Well, he did.
He did early on.
Enough.
Enough.
So all week, or starting last week, of course, the draft is on Thursday. I've been revealing my YouTube big boards for different positions. Of course, I am as good at scouting as professional scouts, as guys on TV, as Mel Kiper Jr., just by watching YouTube. Coming up next, not only will I reveal the top three offensive linemen in the draft, but I will break down...
Trench talk?
Yes, trench talk.
Football guys.
I'm football guys.
Exactly.
Not only will I do that, but I will reveal that and give him the reasons why to Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker, NFL analyst, college football analyst.
Podcaster.
Offensive lineman.
I was going to say, former offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman. I'm just going to tell him what to look for.
Love it.
Based on my YouTube scouting. That is next on the afternoon show on WIP.
Hey, the road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino can go on their own playoff run with $150. Now just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Got an opportunity to bet on three-pointers made. Told you last night, take Maxi over three-pointers, over three-plus three-pointers last night. Over-under total last night actually hit right on the number at 205. That was the over-under total for last night. And hell, Maxi had the first basket last night. There you go. Just go to FanDuel.com/Ike to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
WIP afternoon show. The music certainly has changed.
The music certainly has changed.
I didn't tell anyone to do anything.
I'm going through a Limp Bizkit phase.
Sixth grade
Elliot
terrible.
Loved us.
They're terrible. I can't figure out why they're popular.
Not
this
terrible.
This was chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water. Yeah.
Huh?
That's the name of the album.
Yep.
Yeah.
That whole name?
Yeah, chocolate whole starfish thing, yeah. and the hot dog flavored water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ike Reese sounds over there. I'm Spike Eskin along with Jack Fritz, who doesn't have any music taste. He's a country guy, as well as Elliot Shore Parks. And joining us, it is his honor to join us for the offensive lineman version of the YouTube Big Board. One Ross Tucker, you ready to learn about offensive line play and drafting, Ross?
You know what, Spike? As soon as I saw that you had Spencer Rattler number one on your quarterback YouTube board, I was looking forward to this. I was glad when Jack Fritz reached out.
Yeah, I am pretty psyched to do this with you, so thank you. And I believe in Spencer Rattler, and you're all going to be apologizing to me in two or three years. So quick question before we get to this is, and I love to ask draft people this, because I do think, I'm curious about groupthink with big boards. If everybody who does big boards, every website who does big boards, you, whoever does big boards, did not have access to everybody else's big board, they weren't able to see how anyone else was ranked, how much different do you think people's rankings would be?
Significantly. Yeah, I think it's a lack of confidence or an insecurity, because if you looked at actual NFL teams' big boards, they're very different from each other. Now, part of that is because schemes are different, needs are different, but there's still not nearly the consensus that people think there is. What I think happens is somebody might not like a guy that much, but they see these other people do, and they don't want to be the guy that has a guy 110th, but he goes in the first round.
Right.
Or vice versa, right? They don't have a guy eighth that doesn't go until the third round. So I think whether it's – you know what I always think about that too, Spike, is what do you know about the guy before you're watching him, right? Like, you couldn't help but when you started to evaluate Drake May and Caleb Williams, for example, you had been hearing for a year that they were the top two guys. So it's like anything else in life, it frames your subjective viewpoint. Not to get too deep on you guys here, but – when you're watching something and you already have an outside opinion based on other things you've heard, it's why, like, when they have a jury, they're like, you know, O.J. Simpson trial, do you like football? I mean, they try to ask anything they possibly can to try to get people to be as objective as possible. It's why I have a guy like Emory Hunt on the College Draft podcast. He doesn't care, Spike. He's like you. He'll just say, he'll watch the guys, he'll say what he thinks. He doesn't care what everybody else thinks.
Yes, that's why I'm so good at this, Ross. So are you ready for my top three offensive linemen in the YouTube big board?
I am. I would love to hear first your qualifications for evaluating
there
offensive
is none.
Linemen.
I'm a football guy.
Okay. With the is that part of the Ricky Sanchez podcast or whatever?
Well, I've been YouTube scouting and college basketball players for the NBA for years. It's worked out pretty good. It's
all actually, right, now tell me, do you just find like a 3-minute highlight clip, or do you watch a game or two? What do you do?
A game or two. You don't need to watch a game or two.
He's not watching an entire game. No.
You know what's funny about that? Actually, there's differing schools of thought. I talk to college recruiters and college coaches a lot. There are some that they are adamant that you watch a full game because you want to see the best stuff the guy does, the worst stuff, everything in between. There are others who are like, listen, we're evaluating high school prospects. We want to see their best 2 minutes. Is he really big? Is he really fast? Like, just send me his best stuff, and I want to go off of that. I don't care if he has some bad plays. I don't care if he's lazy. I'm looking for physical traits. So there is some value to your highlight video YouTube scouting, Spike.
I love to give people my best 2 minutes, Ross. That is what I'm defined as.
Yep.
All right, Jack, hit the intro.
Sam Hinkie could run the draft for the Eagles and they would be fine.
It's Spike.
Maybe even better off.
Versus the Scouts.
Here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?
The Spike Eskin YouTube Big Board.
I watched a lot of YouTube.
Thank you to Ross Tucker for joining us for the Big Board. It is offensive lineman today. Number three, I have J.C. Latham from Alabama. The thing I like about him is I don't like when offensive linemen are too fat up top, but J.C. Latham has a giant butt and big, strong legs. Looks like he holds his pass blocks for a while. Whoa. And what? You have a problem with that? No. Okay. All right.
Tell me more about his ass.
Well, it's it. Look. That's a position you want a big giant. Like Cal Lowry, you're just glad you have a big giant ass.
It's an eye for talent right here.
Yes. He moves around pretty good. Also wears 65, which is a good number, I feel like. So number three, J.C. Latham, Alabama.
Am I commenting now?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Number one, I didn't know we were allowed to say ASS on the radio.
Wow.
Well, Spike gets away with that.
Yeah, I'm grandfathered in.
I said bitch like seven times.
I was
going to
say, I didn't know you could say that.
Yeah. That's a new one. My college number and my number with the Buffalo Bills was 65.
There you go.
So I love. Did you do that on purpose, Spike, to kiss up to me or no?
No, I didn't know that
at
all.
You had no idea.
Yep.
So I'll tell you what we said earlier, we all have our certain biases, right? I really like guys that are trying to physically punish people, right? I didn't think playing offensive line was fun. Like, you just block somebody, that's not fun. Grabbing a linebacker like Ike, throwing them to the ground, and then smashing on top of them and trying to spear them, put your elbow right in their neck, that's what's fun. J.C. Latham has positional versatility, could be guard, could be tackle, which I love. Huge. Now, there's some concerns a little bit about when they do stunts or twists and how he picks things up. He's only 21 years old. I'm a fan of his, and I would not be shocked if he becomes a Philadelphia Eagle, by the way.
Oh, trust me. To make the YouTube big board go on forever, all the Eagles need to do is pick one of these guys. All right. Number two, out of Washington, Roger Rosengarten.
Huh?
First of all, awesome offensive line name. Roger Rosengarten is an offensive lineman name. It's the kind of name where you last 18 years in the NFL, end up in the Hall of Fame. Also, because of Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, I love offensive linemen who look like good athletes, and he looks like a good athlete. He's fast. He doesn't look super strong, but he moves his feet well, and he stays in front of his guy when he's pass blocking. Number two, Roger Rosengarten.
So, Spike, how many guys did you watch if you're all the way down the list to Rosengarten?
I watched 30-some guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
This morning?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
And you walked 7 miles?
Yes. Dude, that's why I said I got up before 5 a.m. today to do this stuff, because I had to walk for the Phillies. I had to do this. Yeah.
So, Rosengarten is actually rising on people's boards. He is very athletic, and he ran a really good 40 time, which is what people like about him. There's a thought that if he had gone back to school, because of his ability, he could have been a first-round pick next year. There are some that think there's a chance he gets in at the end of the first round this year. I tend to doubt that. My biggest issue with this eval, Spike, is the other tackle at Washington is clearly better than him. Now, maybe you have him number one. I don't want to steal your thunder. But the other one, Troy Fatanu, I absolutely love. I would cry tears of joy if the Eagles got him. Crazy athletic. He's looking to put people down as well. It's hard to watch Washington's offensive line and pick Rosengarten over Fatanu, but apparently, Spike, you found a way to do it.
Yep, not that hard for me, honestly. All right. Ross Tucker grading my offensive line picks for the YouTube big board. Number one, Amarius Mims out of Georgia. He is a monster. I don't know how big he is, but he looks like he's about 7 feet tall and 350 pounds. It reminds me of when I first saw, at USC when I was a freshman, Tony Boselli in person. He actually sort of moves like a defensive end, like an edge rusher. He flattens people on run blocks. He's like pulling. I was watching a bunch of highlights where he's fast enough to pull, too. On pass blocking, it looks like he's dealing with little kids and not fat at all. Love giant offensive linemen who aren't fat. Number one, Amarius Mims.
So he is 6'8", 340 pounds. His arms are over 36 inches long, which is crazy. Trust me if you're not familiar with arm length. His hands are more than 11 inches from thumb to pinky. He is an absolute monster. He's the type of guy that the Eagles like to take a shot on because of those physical tools. You look at the success they've had with offensive linemen recently, they're all freak shows. Like Lane Johnson, you go back to the combine, total freak show. Kelce, people don't like, Kelsey's a ridiculous athlete. He played college linebacker at Cincinnati for a couple years. And then Mailata, we've all seen the rugby videos of Mailata. Mims is kind of in that category. And what I like about this pick, Spike, he's only started 8 games, so you didn't. There wasn't much of a highlight video for you to have to watch. He's inexperienced. He's gotten injured. But I'll say this. He definitely has the most potential and upside of any offensive tackle in this draft. In other words, 5 years from now, there's a possibility if he goes to the right place, gets with the right coach, that he's the guy that's the Pro Bowler or the All-Pro. This would be the Sam Hinkie pick, I think, Spike. I think this is where you're going.
See, I like the toolsy guys. And you know what? Not playing games, not a big deal. I remember when I was doing YouTube big board scouting, and I picked out Darius Garland, and I said I couldn't find that many highlights of him. And Mike, my podcast partner, was because he only played 5 games. That's why you couldn't find any highlights of him. So that's fine. So my YouTube big board, number 3, J.C. Latham. Number 2, Roger Rosengarten. Number 1, Amarius Mims. I saw that Joe Alt is listed number 1 everywhere. First of all, don't trust anybody from Notre Dame. Second of all, I bet the guy didn't look that good with his shirt off, and I want my football players to look good with their shirt off.
I like that analysis. Yeah, he also looks like he's 15 years old.
Don't like that either.
Joe Alt. I mean, it's unbelievable that he's that big. So my issue with him is he's very smooth. He's going to be a good pro for a long time. I just don't like offensive linemen that aren't trying to hurt people. Mm. Like, that's the fun of it. Like, that's the joy that you get. That's what I miss every single day of my life, being able to – I'm not saying injure. I'm not saying, you know, anything like that, but try to physically hurt and punch them. It's like when Ike was playing linebacker, mm-hmm. he wanted to hit people as hard as he could. Mm-hmm. I don't get that from Alt. When I watch him at left tackle, I don't get – it's like, dude, you're 6'9", 320. Can you please just go kill that guy and not just kind of – patty cake block him. I just think Alt could be a little bit more physical. That's my Alt thoughts.
Yeah. Well, here's my linebacker thought when going up against you, Ross. I mean, you would have never been able to get your hands on me because I'm smart enough to know that I can't win that battle going mano a mano. So you know me, I got to slip the block, get under there and make the tackle. Get around.
You know what, Ike? You got to take me on every once in a while.
every once in a while. You're right.
Just so I know that you'll do it. Like, that was the thing going against, like, Trotter, right, is, like, he would just come and try to run over your face.
Yeah.
And so in the times where he didn't, you would whiff because you're, like, bracing for him to try to run you over. It's interesting, by the way. I don't know how much you've watched, like, but his son's, like, a very different player.
Oh, yeah.
Than he was. I mean, I remember Trotter. He was 265, and if you liked big butts, Spike, Trotter would – I mean, his whole lower body looked like a D-tackle. He had no business playing linebacker. It was crazy.
Mm. Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Wow.
Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker, also the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I appreciate you playing along with this. We will see – how my board works out over the years, but I appreciate you humoring us.
Of course. I love it. I'll be curious to hear some of the other positions. Thank you guys for having me. I'll be on with the morning guys at 7:30.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
Brother. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Bye.
See, I got pretty good grades from Ross.
I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you pulled out Rosengarten, I knew you would really watch your guys.
Yes, I do. I watch the guys. I told Jack I had to get up early to do that today. I've never done so many different positions.
Well, I think the thing is, when you like watching football tape, it's easy to get up early.
Which is why I'm
exactly.
I'm that guy.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wasted draft pick.
Wasted draft pick what?
Well, if they take an old lineman.
Oh.
Just saying.
Wow.
So if they take an offensive tackle, I agree with you. Mm. If they take a player that can play offensive guard, it's the best pick they could make. Mm. You can't take a strictly tackle guy. That's why the guy to Washington, the guy to Oregon State, J.C. Latham can play both positions. Like, I like Mims too. But Mims, to me, is kind of like Tyler Guyton in the way that they're both premium athletes. They could be the best player at their position in the draft. But the Eagles can't afford to take a guy that's going to sit for a year or 2 years. It's a wasted pick.
Yeah, they're not ready to play yet.
You need someone that week one, snap one can be a starter. That's what a first-round pick should be. Week one, snap one on the field. And that's a guard. So I wouldn't take a tackle, but if they take a guard, I think it's a good pick.
Yes.
Yeah, would not take a guard.
Balls.
I'm a guard guy, too. I'm a guardsman.
Say this, too, about Rosengarten versus the guard out of Washington. Positional value, I think you're right on having him higher.
On Rosengarten.
Yeah, I mean, because
for the Eagles.
Just in general. Because if he becomes an, I think he has better tackle prospects than Fuaga.
You're saying too many different
things. No,
guys. I know. Yeah. Okay, all right. All right, we've been talking about the Sixers' painful loss last night. It is amazing. I think at some point this summer, we're going to have to chronicle the maybe 7 or 8 most painful losses of the process era. Last night will stick with us forever. There's the ref questions, and then there's the questions about the rest of this series. I do believe they can and will win this series. I believe they've been there. I believe that they have the best players in the series. And look, being down 0-2 is not optimal. But Joel Embiid has done what we haven't seen him do before, which is when things aren't optimal, pull through and struggle. And Tyrese Maxey has done... He hasn't been perfect, but he's done everything we've asked for as a 2 to Embiid. He's shown up in the fourth quarter. He's hit big shots. He's one timeout short of being a true hero.
Yeah. He is. Agreed.
Yeah.
Got robbed.
215-592-9494.
It's true. The whole show is completely different today if they call the game correctly.
Or if they call a timeout.
They did.
Wow.
They weren't
granted the timeout. Yeah.
They did call a timeout.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Scott in Newtown. You're on WIP.
Oh, man. What's going on, guys? Last time, Spike, I called you, I, like, literally brought your rules up to look at them. This time, I don't even care about your rules. Like, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about the draft or the freaking Sixers. But, Elliot, you are just – honest to God, I think for the last 5 years, you've been in the locker room with the Sixers telling them, good job, guys, and patting them on the back.
Well, they've done a good job over the last few years.
I know, Elliot. Yeah. I know. You're so into how much money the Sixers have made and how they fill the stands.
I don't bring that up ever.
All of this. But that's what you really like, and that's all you're about. You're just about the show of it.
That's just wrong.
Go ahead. Every freaking year, Elliot.
Yes.
Every year. I, honest to God, did you say it was a win last night?
Like, yeah. I
that with my freaking ears? You said it was a win last night?
Yes. I'm reacting to the game as if it was a win because the refs took that game from them.
Delusional world.
It's
man.
Not delusional. They had that game won. They outplayed the Knicks for the entire game until the ref. Yes.
At that point, when they were leading all the way up until they gave the lead up. How about all the? Oh my! God.
They didn't give the lead up. The refs gave the ball to the Knicks incorrectly.
Oh, would you stop
that is
it?
What happened.
Would you stop
well,
it?
Do we want to talk about it honestly, or just be mad that they lost to the Hawks a few years ago? What happened last night was they had that game won, and the refs took it from them.
Okay,
that's what happened.
Okay, that is so wrong. But even with the timeout, all right. If Nick Nurse, okay, I see the still shot for this half-ass timeout, right? If the refs didn't give him the first timeout, you're telling me on the second timeout he's not freaking out? You ever see Pete Carroll run up the freaking sidelines with
right.
the timeout and you think he's a freaking lunatic? What the hell are you talking about?
So you
about,
agree
Elliot?
The refs were incompetent. You agree
no,
with me.
Incompetent.
You just
They're
said he has
play.
To overcome
They're
them not doing
the
a good
play,
job.
Elliot.
Is that not what you just
They're
said?
The play. He needed to do what he needed to do.
But their job is also to be aware of a timeout. That is their job
is
as well.
Not their that, job.
Well, then how do they ever call a timeout? How many timeouts are called without the guy tackling the ref? The ref missed that he called a timeout twice. And for what it's worth, Nick Nurse said he was looking right at him.
This person in Philadelphia. And, man, I respect you and I like you.
I like you, too.
You set the culture. You set this culture for the Sixers team. When Spike asked, am I all in or not all in, it's like, damn, I am all in because I'm emotional and I love this freaking team, but I have zero confidence.
Yeah, but, Scott, I also think the reason you should be all in is because they've been a title contender the last 6 years.
You just keep cutting
me off. They have not been a title contender.
They absolutely have been a title contender.
Thing is find ways to lose and ways to let us down.
I agree.
That's
it's frustrating.
The Sixers are, man. That's
I agree.
What they are. They do a great job during the season, stacking wins, and it's fun to bring my wife out on a date to the Sixers and dress up. All of that is cool. But year after year, they're losers, man. And I'm not even blaming Embiid or Maxey. I'm not blaming one individual person. I'm blaming the whole unit, man. Honestly, I think we're cursed for losing games on purpose, and we're never going to get over this hump until it's just all gone with and all new.
No more.
And I'm not an idiot, and I don't want to trade Embiid because I understand how awesome he is, but this is we're never getting over this hump, man. And last night, it just freaking hurt so bad again. So bad. I'm 30 seconds away from having a victory celebration with my wife, and then bang, they steal my heart again. It's always the same nonsense, man. Love you guys.
My man.
Just have a nice day.
Thanks for the call, Scott. The curse thing, you gotta drop the process.
Agreed, 100%.
You got to drop it. You got to let it go. It gets in the way of you enjoying the team. It gets in the way of you truly compartmentalizing what is happening on the team. Do you know that the Spurs, in part, got Tim Duncan and ended up being a dynasty because they lost games and they wound up with a good draft pick? Like, this has happened over and over again in the NBA. Hinkie got famous for it. They were bad for 3 years. 3 years. That's it. They were bad for 3 years. Do you know how long the Knicks have been bad for? Just because of operational incompetence? 20 years. The Lakers have been bad. Were prior to LeBron, terrible. In between Kobe at Kobe's prime and what happened
last
there.
2 years, they were terrible.
They were terrible. It just, stop with the curse thing. Stop. I understand how it feels. If anyone understands the pain of these losses, it is me. I have lived and died with all of this. But we gotta let go of the process stuff. It's over. It's preventing people from, you know, I see, it's not just Howard either. The number of people when this team fails that go, ha ha, I told you so, Embiid sucks. That is,
it's a lot of it.
It's horrible. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not judging how you consume. If that's how you enjoy sports, then that's fine. I never want anybody in this city on any of these teams to fail. I would largely prefer to be wrong on players that I don't think are any good. I was wrong about Bryce Harper. Like, when Bryce Harper got here and Nationals fans told us, oh, we won as soon as, you know, as soon as he, wait, oh, you're going to have a lot of fun with him, they rolling their eyes, I assumed he was a loser. When he showed up here with the Fanatic stuff, I was like, phony, loser, not a winner. And I was wrong. I was wrong about Nick Foles. Nick Foles won us a Super Bowl because I was wrong. It is glorious to be wrong about a local player that you think is bad and is actually good. And I just worry that there's so many people with process brain at this. It's years. We're like seven general managers from Sam Hinkie. Get over it. Relax.
And also, it worked. The process worked. The Sixers have been one of the best teams in the league over the past 6 years. That's just a fact. They haven't won it, which is true. But how many teams have won over the last 5 or 6 years? Like four? Some repeat champions in there? The Sixers.
There's not a repeat champion in there.
Trying to think. All right, so let's say six teams over the last 6 years.
Now, I don't think anybody's repeated since the Warriors.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, but they don't have two in the last 6 years? Regardless, the point I'm making is, This idea that the Sixers are losers, they have come up small in big playoff moments, but they have repeatedly gotten to big playoff moments where, to your point, Spike, the Knicks haven't come anywhere close to what the Sixers have accomplished over the last 6 years.
But why did they look more prepared for it?
They didn't look more prepared. The Sixers had the game won.
They made more winning plays late.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They did.
No, they didn't. If the timeout is given, the Sixers win the game. That's just a fact. The Knicks made bad plays throughout the game to put them in the position where they need.
Open this window up. I'm jumping or I'm throwing him. One or the other. Either I'm jumping out the window into the Schuylkill.
Brunson made one good play.
I don't want to see you go out like that in the Schuylkill. Watch you dissolve.
It is a nice day, though. Yeah. It is a nice day. I mean, Brunson has been bad all two games.
Both games, yeah.
Is he a winner that tries hard, or did he get lucky and make one shot late? Like Embiid's outplayed him. Is Embiid more of a winner than Brunson? Yes. Maxey's outplayed him. Is Maxey more of a winner than Brunson?
Didn't Brunson win a national championship?
Yeah, at Nova.
Yeah. Well that counts too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, after
well,
last
they're no
night,
longer a Philly school.
Yeah, Nova's not a Philly school anymore.
Yeah, we will get into that. So speaking of Joel Embiid, last night Joel Embiid made a proclamation after the game, and there are some questions about what he said and about how he said it and how he looked when he said it. We will talk about that next on the Afternoon Show on 94 WIP.
Hey, it's engagement season, fellas. Are you guys looking to give that special someone a ring that will show her how much you love her? Well, working with the guys that I'm working with, we already have rings for that special someone. But you could give her a friendship ring if you need one. Now, the team at Marks, they have diamond consultants that can help you find the best ring for every budget. If you need wedding bands, guess what? Marks has you covered for that also. Marks offers Jewel Vision, the only way the two of you can customize the perfect matching wedding bands. Marks has it all, with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Shop the home team at marks-jewelers.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.